With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome to this week's EvoStick Extra. I'm your host Ben Hughes, and coming up in this week's show, we'll be previewing all this weekend's matches in the NPL Premier Division with James Hayes. We'll also be joined by Black Country Radio's Adam Parks, by Mark Duffy from the Ilkeston Advertiser, from Yorkshire sports reporter Tom Feeney. We'll be speaking to the new manager at Marine, Tommy Lawson, plus we'll be hearing from the manager and chairman at Rushall Olympic, that's John Allen, and from Gary Mills, manager at Corby Town. All of that and a little bit more on this week's EvoStick Extra. And we're hitting the ground running this week, and the ground in question is Witton Albion's Wynsham Park on Tuesday night, as I'm joined by Swamper reviewing all of last weekend's results in the EvoStick NPL Premier Division. So, welcome everyone to a very blustery Wynsham Park. It's a Tuesday evening and we're here for the, well, nearly the top of the table clash in Division 1 South. And it's currently 3-0 at half-time to Witton Albion against Shore Lane. Thoughts?
Is this the Cheshire track for the Eurovision Song Contest? This is possibly the worst song I've heard at half-time. It's like squealing babies, Ben.
I believe this is quite a popular song at the moment with the youth, Swamper, so...
Yeah, but we're in Witton. The average age here is about 104. Anyway, back to the game.
So 3-0.
Oh, yeah, and Witton are full value for it, to be honest. I mean, it's not a very good game. The wind's obviously played its part. And the only real composure so far for me has been with the very impressive Prince Haywood. Three goals, one rather struck at half time there. A goal in the first 5 minutes scored by I think it was Bradley. How are we pronouncing that, Ben?
Barres.
Yeah, they've been value for it. To be honest, I'm very surprised how poor the visitors have been. The wind's playing its part, but the ball's very long. No one's really holding on to the ball. But it should be a really interesting half-time team talk and see what they can do coming out second half. Sure, they. I mean, the top at the moment, you know.
They'll stay top.
Well, they will stay top regardless tonight, yeah. But again, closing that gap in that division, in the Southern Division, is all important. And we know from a Witton perspective, they played 24 games this season. They're on the shoulder in third spot, you know, 53 points. They start clawing it back. I mean, Spalding in front of them. Spalding played 30 games. So again, it's all to play for. And this is the kind of momentum. Witton have had a bit of a couple of games in the last two or three weeks. Haven't been up to their normal standard. But, you know, they're now in a situation where... Yes, and playing wise, they've been winning games, but they've not been.
All right,
you know,
I was going to say. Yeah,
I know, Ben. I know. They've been winning games, but you know, talking to a few of the Witton members of the squad, and also a few people, they said they've not been playing brilliantly, but they've been getting results. And tonight, they're certainly playing well, and three goals to the good at half time, so very interesting.
And so that was our little Division 1 South corner, and we're here tonight to say to the teams in Division 1 South, look, we've gone to a game now, so lay off.
Listen, Ben, to be honest, we'd love to go to a lot more games. It's just unfortunately the South's not as near as the North, and if we were in the South, you'd be complaining that those in the North, why aren't your games in the North? Because we're based up here, but I mean, this is still a 50-mile round trip. Tonight, and you know, we'll be up to a few more games before the end of the season. On those balmy evenings on a Tuesday, we can, you know, get across the Pennines or down through to the Midlands. We'll be there, don't worry.
So that's Division 1 South anyway. It's now time to look at all the Premier Division results from Saturday. We're recording this on Tuesday, so there's five matches in the league tonight that we don't know the result for. So what we're saying about the league table is at time of recording, which is at 9:15 on a very cold Tuesday evening. So results from Saturday, and well, Swampy, I'm getting fed up now of the league table. I don't even want to look at it anymore. I don't like the fact that nothing is certain. It changes every week. I just don't understand.
What is certain, Ben, is that it is a quality league. It's, apart from Blyth, in reality, well, one of anyone now can be part and parcel, even down to 11th spot now. I mean, you know, teams are beating other teams, teams that you wouldn't think they'd be beating. Last night, Monday night, Warrington go and beat Stourbridge 1-0 away from home. They're into 11th position now, 50 points, only 5 points off, you know, 5th spot. I'm starting like Berkey here, aren't I? I've got that Berkeyness about myself. It's nigh on impossible to predict who's going to get promoted at this moment in time, Ben, or who's going to be that top five, because everyone is vying for that position, and it is so difficult to see who's there. I mean, Ilston beating Sutton Coldfield, you know, got Matlock beating Marine.
Don't stick with the structure of the show.
Okay, sorry, Ben.
You say it's very difficult to predict who's going to get promoted. What you mean is through the playoffs.
That
win at the weekend for Blyth, 2-1 away at Stourbridge. That I don't want to be Jeff Stelling, or I don't want to be that kind of presenter, but that's got to be it now, surely. There's no one stopping Blyth, is there?
71 points, goal difference, which equates to about 35 points, I think.
At what point do we stop talking about them?
Well, I stopped talking about them. I wanted them to go up this season because of the quarter that they brought in the last two or three seasons of this division. And this season, they're really proving themselves worthy. And they're just going on to strength after strength. Stourbridge was a big result for them. Stourbridge, we know, for me, the team of the team of 2016, with all their FA Cup exploits and what they did in the division, and narrowly missed out in promotion. But Blyth have been absolutely tremendous. Below that is where we have to discuss and talk about.
Let's start with the team in second then at time of recording. That's Buxton. A very good away point at Spennymoor Town. We did big it up a bit on last week's show. We got Jason Ainsley on. It goes to show you how close it is at the top half of the table and how tight they all are.
It is. And to go away to Spennymoor, get a flying as well at this moment in time, to get a point, and that's what your manager wants you to do. You go out there, you put your shift in, you put your performance in. We don't get beat here, lads. We leave with something, you know, and we want a quarter game we can, but we do not give anything away. And that's what they've done. They've got themselves a point out of a game. And you know, Buxton, we've seen them on a few occasions this season. I mean, in fairness, Ben, they're not north or south, are they? They're Derbyshire. So we've been all the way up to Derbyshire on occasions as well.
Don't you mean all the way down to Derbyshire? That's what you mean, geography-wise. Anyway,
well, it depends where we're coming from.
Whitby are in third at the moment, and at this point, I should mention, for those people who watch Barwell's YouTube channel, there was some horrific trolling going on last week with Jimmy Ginnelly, the manager at Barwell. He named me personally. I sent an apology to Jimmy Ginnelly, apologising for the misunderstanding. We don't mock the burgers at Barwell. We genuinely mean it. Well, I mean it. You're a vegan. You don't actually know that they're that nice. But they are. But it turns out he was winding us up.
Yeah, so I didn't know fairness, Ben.
We had to get a refund from Interflora. The chairman wasn't happy about it. So we're in a right muddle, but 2-1 away win at Whitby Town, a good result for Barwell. Sees them now 4 points from the playoff swamper.
And I think it's about time that you guys that love the Barwell burger stop talking about the burger and start talking about their football.
Oh, look at you.
Ben, I've never thought about the quality of the burger. As you said, I don't eat meat, so how would I know? I mean, I know as a football club, they're a great club. We've been down there from an FC perspective over the last two or three seasons. And, you know, the reception is excellent. They're a hard-working team. They've done tremendously well. I mean, as you say, they are just off that play. 51 points, 4 points off the playoffs.
They have played a few games more, but
they have, yeah. But
if Whitby are getting beat, if Stourbridge are getting beat, if Buxton are getting draws,
that's why they are where they are now. You know, they've played 34 games. Yeah, they've played more than most teams in and around them, with the exception of Grantham. But they're going to be there and thereabouts.
And Barwell are doing really well. And like I said, if they've got 34 games, they've played 34 games, but they're winning those games, then you only have to look at Workington. Workington got beat again. 3-2 away at Stafford. And it just seems that everyone above... look at how Warrington Town are now creeping up. They're 5 points in the playoffs now.
Let's talk about Warrington initially. What a great result last night for them against Stourbridge. Away from home. Stourbridge, 2 on the bounce at home. They're normally your coupon bankers, aren't they? And the teams have done the job on them.
But you know what I mean? It's like if you get teams like Warrington Town starting to creep up and Barwell knocking on the door, and it's purely because everyone above them can't put a run together.
That's exactly right. I mean, even down to Rushall, you know, the 49 points, that's 6 points, and they've got a few games in hand. I mean, the teams that we'll be looking over the shoulder to a degree are the teams that have played a few games, your Granthams, your Workingtons, and even your Barwells. They've, you know, and for Grantham to get beat the weekend as well by Mickleover. You know, I saw the goals, and one of the great things about the NPL is having the goal highlights for all three divisions now, which is fantastic. And as someone who can't get to all the weekend games, because obviously we have our own commitments football-wise, it's great to see. But the thing is, The only thing that's going to go against certain teams is the amount of games that they've played. But everyone is beating everyone. I mean, you know, it's, I mean, Nantwich against Corby. I mean, Nantwich, they're, you know, in the top four spot at this moment in time.
Well, let's talk about that result before the teams come back out. It's obviously Corby at the moment. And I when we interviewed John Dunham from the Northants Telegraph a couple of weeks ago, we said it's important that they get that result, I can't remember, against Frickley, because then they're playing Nantwich and Blyth, and they've got no chance of getting points against those teams. They got a point away at Nantwich, and that's a cracking result for Corby.
In all fairness, it doesn't necessarily surprise me that much, simply because Corby have been on the up and working and working and working. They're putting shifts in, week out, for the manager and for the supporters.
And look at that. 3 points now to Marine, and that goes to Frickley Athletic as well. Frickley Athletic getting a very good 1-0 win against Rushall.
Well,
and it's like we said, they are all catching them up now.
The only downside for Corby, I suppose, in regards to his games played, and also the goal difference against -21. But I mean, Frickley below them -30, and Sutton Coldfield -29, and then Ilkeston, I think, -33 as well. But they've been absolutely tremendous. If they stay up, their form is championship form. To be where they were, to get even a sniff of getting out, is absolute testament to the commitment for the players, the hard work that they're putting on the training ground, the hard work that the management team have put in there. And it shows, with great determination and a bit of quality, you can get out of situations when everyone thinks you're dead and buried. And the testament to them, it would be a travesty, as it would for any team, to get relegated this season. But for Corby to go on such a great run and then to get relegated would be really, really hard, I think, for them to take.
Now, a promise is a promise. We did say next time Ilkeston win, we're going to get Mark Duffy on from the Ilkeston Advertiser. That is going to be happening on this week's show. A 1-0 win against Sutton Coldfield Town. Sean Goater's first game in charge after last week's issues off the pitch in the Ilkeston. And, hope, I suppose, 10 points now from safety with 4 games in hand.
I mean, no disrespect to Sean Goater, but I mean, again, you know, I know he's at New Mills, and you bring a manager in that doesn't necessarily know non-league football as well as perhaps a more seasoned manager is what you need at this time of the season. Yes,
This is going to come back to bite you.
He's a big name. He's a famous player, you know, a Bermudian international, an ex-Manchester City legend. Now, if he can spark a bit of magic into those players, into that team, then yeah, I don't mind eating the words. If they can go on a run, I can't see it personally. But again, it's an interesting appointment. And it was very quick after Paul left. But again, you know, we'll see. Ilkeston have been a very strange setup over the last 18 months, to be honest. And you know, I feel for the supporters more than anything at that football club at this moment in time.
And one last result: Hensford 5-0.
Yeah, I saw the goals. I mean, they put them to the sword. I mean, absolutely battered them. The change, really, at Skem hasn't altered anything in reality. Skem are down this season, and you know, Hensford in 13th position, 47 points. You know, again, beating a team, and that's what you need to do. You need to beat your teams that are below you, and if you get a chance to score a fair few, get some more confidence. Because again, you know, even though they're they are where they are at the moment, Hensford at 13th, they're again, you know, they're not that far away from you know, making it difficult for other teams, and going on a bit of a run themselves. So there we go.
And speaking of runs, the second half is now underway here, so it's time to hand back to the studio. Thank you, Swamper.
You're very welcome, Ben.
So, welcome back to the studio, and a big thank you to everyone at Witton Albion for their lovely hospitality on Tuesday evening. Finished 3-2 in the end to Witton Albion. A very nervy second half as Charlene clawed it back to 3-2. But in the end, Witton Albion took all 3 points, and we'll be having more about Division 1 South next week, because the Division 1 show's coming out next week. So more on that next week. But a big thank you to everyone at Winsham Park for their hospitality. Swampy's now gone. He was a figment of your imagination anyway. And joining me now is another figment of your imagination, but in a good way. It's James Hayes. Hello, James. How are you?
Hello, Ben. How are you doing today?
I'm all good. So we just mentioned one result there from Tuesday evening in Division 1. However, there were 5 matches in the Premier Division on Tuesday night, which we should really touch upon. Coming up, we're going to be hearing from the management at Corby Town, as well as, of course, the new manager at Marine, Tommy Lawson, and John Allen, chairman and manager at Rush Olympic. Plus, we're also going to be talking Ilkeston with Mark Duffer, as well as Frickley Athletic with Thomas Vina as well, and his view on the relegation picture, because it is shaping up in a really intriguing way. Now, some results then from Tuesday night. Rush Olympic 1, Stafford Rangers 0. James, they needed that, didn't they?
Rush really did, because again, they were just starting to drop away from that playoff race. I just want to focus on that for a second. You've got about 9 teams there now, within 7 to each other. So, from what I was saying last week, it's more important to get them against the top teams. That's not the case anymore. Every game now counts for all for each one of them teams, and we're going to go potentially another month without even knowing who could be there. And that's the exciting part for this season now.
James, do you promise me it's only going to be a month? Because do you know how hard it is to do one of these podcasts each week where you say one thing and then the next week it's been proved totally wrong and something else has happened? It's too much. Can't last much longer.
So it's going to come down to the last day of the season and potentially one goal to decide who takes the places. I mean, next year is going to be a big, completely different story again, but this year is going to be...
Talking about next season is like just sitting there and having a 5-course meal and going, you know what, could do with another starter. Just let's leave next season to next season. I'm getting indigestion here with all this drama for this season. Anyway, a good result there for Rushall Olympic, and I think this is a good time to welcome back the manager and chairman of Rush Olympic, Mr. John Allen. Hello, John. How's things?
Certainly better, Ben, after a win on Tuesday night. Certainly better.
I was going to say that is a very important result, that one, and steadies the ship. It has been an interesting few weeks for Rush All, but still very much in this playoff race as well, we should say.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's been character forming, to say the least. We've... there's probably been a couple of games throughout the season that we've not really competed in, i.e. Bickleover at home and Workington away. But since Christmas, the games that we've been in, you know, it's been a 1-0 or a 2-1, and, you know, we've either give something away silly one end and, or not scored the other end. But they've been very, very close. And you know, it's a learning curve after losing one or two players that we have and whatever. But I feel that we're, as a squad... getting back to where we should be.
Now, no one's mentioned this yet on the NPL show, but it did just cross my mind there. It is better to get... Because every team has a slump during the season. I mean, even Blyth Spartans, I'd imagine, are going to have one at some point. Hopefully for everyone else. It's better to get it out of the way in February. And as we said there, Rush Olympic, you've had the slump now. At 3 points from the playoffs still.
Well, you're right. I mean, I sincerely hope you're right. As I say, you know, as a squad, I think we're stronger now than possibly we were before Christmas, or certainly back to where we were. And, you know, with the squad that we've got, I think we'll manage games better. Would you believe, here we are in February, we haven't got a striker that scored more than 5 goals. Hopefully we're putting that right. And defensively, I think we'll be hard to beat. So with the games, and we need to be, because with the games that we got coming up, starting with Ashton on Saturday, you know, we're playing some big sides with big budgets and big everything else, and hopefully that we're going to be able to compete and take points off them.
And we spoke to Jason Ainsley last week on the show, and we also had one of the Matlock Town managers on as well. And it's a question I'm going to ask every single manager who's up at the top end at the moment. Trying to make head and a tail of the playoff race at the moment is very, very difficult. And you mentioned the Ashton match this weekend, but the next game after that is Barwell, and Barwell down in 11th are in this playoff race as well. Can you explain to the dear listener at home, John, what on earth is going on in the top half of the Premier Division this season?
Well, there are a lot of good sides. There are a lot of good sides, and you know, and everybody's beating everybody else. And I think, you know, right the way down to possibly the bottom two, anybody can get a result. You know, there are some excellent sides and some excellent football being played. I think Blythe are in a bit of a league of their own. You know, they've been in this at this level for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. They know what it's about. They've tried to go the distance a couple of times, but I just get a feeling that they will do this this season. Only to ever finishes in that playoff situation that will have a marvellous opportunity of getting a promotion place as well, you know.
So, in closing then, John, where are you at now? Where's the club at? Where's the squad at for this running? Because it's going to be an absolute thrill-a-minute roller coaster, isn't it? How are you all prepped for it?
I'm a lot better. Believe it or not, I've just signed a player this morning. And I'm a lot better, I reckon, now, in terms of the squad being able to compete with the better sides in this league. Prior to Christmas, we'd had some great results, didn't always play what I consider to be the better sides in the league, and had that one little thing that has not happened for us since Christmas, and that's called luck. And hopefully, you know, you make it unlucky in life and in this game as well. And hopefully this squad now on the running will give us that little bit of luck that we need to get over the edge, you know, on every occasion.
Well, John Allen, chairman and manager at Russia Olympic, a big thank you for taking the time out of your busy day. All the best of luck in the coming weeks, and I'm sure when the playoff race really, really heats up, we'll be getting you back on. So, Russia Olympic manager John and chairman John Allen there joining us, a 1-0 win and 3 points now from the playoff positions, a much needed win there. Also a much needed win on Tuesday night was Spennymoor Town, 2-1 winners against Marine. Not the best of results for Marine. Don't talk about Marine just yet, James, because we're obviously going to be hearing from Tommy Lawson, the new manager at Marine, in a second or two. But a good result for Spennymoor, steadies the ship a bit. They're still in ninth, but as we've alluded to here, the top 15 are separated by a couple of wins or so. Spennymoor, 2 points from the playoffs, so a good result that.
It is indeed, and again, just to settle the nerves at this moment in time, Spennymoor, they've just fallen out of the playoff place in the last couple of weeks, so a couple of bad results, just to keep making, again, just to pick up their paces a little bit and just continue in that little bit of a run. They've got they're in striking range and they've still got the games in hand. So
let's touch upon relegation then. Three sides in action who are deeply involved in the relegation picture. Skelmersdale United 0, Matlock Town 2. Can I just highlight something now, James? This is an historic moment for everyone involved with Derbyshire non-league football, with Northern Premier League football. Look who's in second and third. I've got just wait a second. I've just got a tear in my eye. Beautiful. Buxton second, Matlock Town third. It's beautiful, isn't it? Isn't that beautiful to see? No disrespect to the other teams, but that's great. Lovely.
It's, again, unpredictable at this moment in time, let's be honest.
Now, after 32 games, Skelmersdale United have got 16 points. They're going to need to get 16 more points, plus another win, at least. That's to get on the same number of points as Frickle Athletic, and we're not even talking about the goal difference just yet. So that's the feat that they've got in the remaining 14 games of the season that they've got left. So it's a very big ask now for Skelmersdale United, but wait and see. Stranger things have happened. Elsewhere, speaking of Frickle Athletic, a 2-1 win away at Barwell. Very, very good result, that one, for Frickle Athletic. It now takes them out of the relegation zone and puts them on the same number of points as Marine. Now, this is big news, and only 3 points behind Halesowe in Town. So we've been mentioning this now for a few weeks. This Corby, Frickley, Sutton Coldfield all egging each other on. It's happened now, James. They've caught them.
They have caught him, and again, something I didn't think would personally happen. Again, thinking that Hoyles Owen and Marine would just start to pick up the pace and pull away a little bit. But you're right there at this moment in time.
And as I said, we are going to hear from Tommy Lawson, the new manager at Marine, on this week's show. But on Wednesday, I caught up with freelance sports journalist from Yorkshire, Tom Feeney, to hear his views on Frickley Athletic and that big match this weekend between Marine and Frickley Athletic. And disclaimer, this interview was conducted before the departure of Sean Hesse and the appointment of Tommy Lawson at Marine. So, Marine against Frickley Athletic this weekend. Very, very big match taking place down towards the bottom end of the table. And joining me now to discuss Frickley more in depth now. And is it finally happening? Are Frickley about to swallow up the likes of Marine and Halesowe? We're now joined by the welcome return by freelance sports journalist from the other side of the Pennines, it's Tom Feeney. Hello, Tom, how are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you, mate. How are you?
I'm all good. So, on Tuesday night, it finished Barwell 1, Frickley Athletic 2, a very, very important result, as was Saturday's result, Frickley Athletic 1, Rushall Olympic 0. I asked there, can Frickley swallow up the likes of Marine and Hales Owen? Well, they're now on the same number of points as Marine now, so yes, they can. It's quite, what's your impression of what's going on at the moment?
Well, I think what's happened is that Lee Morris has finally sorted out the strike force. Wade Fairhurst comes in from Boston United to Don Alondale. I mean, Wade Fairhurst is a player who's been there and done it, and they've now extended that deal as well. And then they've also got Joe Pugh, who's on loan from Doncaster Rovers, you know, a really talented youngster who Doncaster have big hopes for in the future. He's got quite a famous dad as well, who's, you know, played in league football. So the hope is that he can learn at Frickley. He's doing a fine job. And then they were able to bring in Adam Priestley, who, if you know, you look at his time at Farsley Celtic, he's a Gibraltar international. He's someone who at Alfreton kind of started well, and it's for some reason he just didn't get the game time in the end, but he's joined as well. So what they've got is they've got a really impressive front three all there for the next few games, at least, all on them loan deals. And I think the big thing for Frickley is over the last few months, what they've been able to do is they've beaten the teams below them. So they've beaten the teams that are in them relegation battles with them. But the last two wins are the ones that will probably mean a little bit more to Lee Morris, just because they've beaten two teams now who are both mid-table, quite comfortable, and teams that, you know, you'd look on paper and think, right, will Frickley get anything? Probably not, just because of the difference of where they are in the league. So I think it's very encouraging for Lee Morris and his side.
Now, the last time there was a six-pointer for Frickley Athletic, I mean, Frickley Athletic form guy for the last six matches, they are mid-table. But the last time they had a six-pointer was against Corby, and Corby came out 2-0 winners. This one against Marine, it is so vitally, vitally important. Marine have got a game in hand, so it's a proper six-pointer, this. I don't mean to use clichés, but it's actually probably a 12-pointer.
Yeah, I mean, it really is that big a game. And I think the thing is, you know, that they will then look at the fact that after Marine, they've got Matlock Town, you know, which obviously will not be an easy game at all. So they've got to be taking these chances. And then a game after, you know, they've then got Hensford, who are mid-table. But then after that, they've got Blyth Spartans. So, I mean, there's a lot of tough games coming up for Frickley. And this is the thing, they've got that little bit of momentum now, two wins in a row, you know, hard-fought victories as well, where they've been able to show what they've got. So, it to me, it feels like this is such an important game, because if they win this, they can, you know, they go 3 points above Marine for a start, but they can also build a bit more of a gap on the teams below them. And what that would mean is then they're going into the games against Matlock and Life Spartans, not particularly with that same amount of pressure, because obviously you're looking at it, you'd think Matlock and Blyth both pushing, you know, Blyth especially, you know, for promotion, you'd think that they're going to be the heavy favourites going into them games. So I just think for Frickley, this is, you know, despite the fact that we're still in February, this really does feel like one of them games where at the end of the season, if they've won this, we'll look back and think, right, that was a key moment in them staying up. And should they go down if they lost this one, you would look back and think that was one of the key games in their defeat.
And we've been mentioning Marine and Hales Owen in this discussion now for the last few weeks or so. Can Frickley and Corby and Sutton Coldfield egg themselves on to catch these teams? A win for Frickley and a defeat for Colville, and suddenly Colville are in the picture as well. Obviously, with Corby playing away at Blyth, I don't think anyone's expecting much from that result. But Corby as well, they've got Skelmersdale next Saturday, so you just think it's going to go on and on and on. And for Lee and for Gary at Corby, you just think the more we bring into this party, the better it's going to be for Frickley and Corby.
Yeah, most certainly. And I think that's the thing here is, when you're looking at where they are, you know, there are a couple of teams that, honestly, a few weeks ago, you know, would have thought, right, we've got a nice gap. You know, the teams below us aren't particularly picking up results. You then look at what Corby have done. I mean, you know, it's incredible, really, the run that they've been on, and how I think that run by Corby and then Frickley picking up some results as well. As you said, it's dragged the Colville Towns in. I mean, you know, I'd look at Stafford Rangers and Micklover Sports even.
Don't get all talk sport on us, Tom. Come on.
Come on. I've got... They're only 2 points above them. And I just think, you know, you look at the run that I think Corby, obviously, the run there on, you know, they've got so much confidence. Then you look at Frickley, if they could pick up one or two more wins, you know, all of a sudden, it just puts that pressure on these teams to maintain their standards, to get a few more victories. And, you know, at the end of the season, I do think, hand on heart, I think Frickley will stay up, because what Lee Morris has got is he's got now a forward line that gets goals. He's got experienced defenders. You know, Reece Maynall is a crucial player for that team. He's someone who really has been there and done it in non-league. And I just feel that they've got the right elements there at Frickley now. And then it is all about trying to build for next season after, obviously, last season where Frickley were at the end of it all, you know, nearly getting into the playoffs. So, you know, they will be hoping that they can, next season, maybe have some more mid-table, you know, just a bit of mid-table obscurity for a bit, and then try and build on from that.
It is awfully, awfully intriguing down the bottom end. I'm not going to go as far as to invite Stafford and Mikkel over to this party, but you've done that, Tom, so fair enough. That's very generous of you, may I say that. Anyway, so the top end of the table is looking, the playoff race is looking awfully exciting, and it looks like the relegation battle is just about to get started. But Tom Feeney, a big thank you for joining us this week on Evo Stick Extra. How can people follow you and your excellent work that you do on Twitter and that kind of thing?
Yeah, social media, go on my Twitter. It's at Thomas Feeney. I always have to spell it. It's Thomas, F-E-A-H-E-N-Y.
Tom Feeney, thanks for joining us, mate, and all the best this weekend. So, some interesting developments taking place in Marine the past couple of days or so, and it's accumulated in the return to management of my next guest, and it's a welcome return to the show to Tommy Lawson. Hello, Tommy, how are you?
Fine, Ben, fine.
So, first things first, a big congratulations on your appointment at the club.
Thanks very much. You know, it's great to be, you know, back involved. You want to be out there on a Saturday, don't you? It's part of what we do, isn't it?
Absolutely. Saturday without Tommy Lawson as well. I think there was a void in a lot of people's lives over the last month or so. It has been a roller coaster season for yourself, Tommy. Why were you so keen to get back involved in management as quickly as possible? And to be fair, I kind of already know the answer, because a lot of people were saying, well, Marine is very, very suitable for Tommy.
It's a big club. It's the biggest in the area, and it's got a great tradition. And I just feel, you know, it was just too big a opportunity to pass up. You know, I know a lot of their players. You know, a lot of them have played to me in the past. The board of directors, you know, were very keen to show me down, show me the situation, explain everything. Everything was really explained well. And it, like I say, it was a no-brainer, really.
And, well, you come into this in an interesting situation taking place down towards the bottom end of the table. We've been mentioning it for weeks now, the chances of Sutton Coldfield and Corby and Frickley all egging each other on to catch Marine and Hales Owen. It's looking like Colville are in the sights now of a few teams as well. The relegation battle is heating up now, and you've come into this at quite an interesting time. What do you make of the situation Marine find themselves in?
Well, you know, we first of all, we need to get stability. We need to settle things down. There's always a knee-jerk reaction when a manager leaves or when a new manager comes in. And, you know, it won't happen overnight, but we'll do things as quickly as we can to get the whole situation stable. But, you know, we've said all along, in this division, there's no easy game, whether it's top, whether it's bottom. Everyone's kicking and scratching. Everyone's very, very capable. And yet there's a lot of teams in that little neck of the woods now. I'm really looking forward to the challenge.
And you've not really had much time, I don't think, for this six-pointer this weekend against Frickley Athletic. What are you expecting, and how much engagement have you had with the coaching staff and the players?
Well, I met the players last night for the first time. And you know, obviously, some of the lads I've yet to find out about. A lot of the lads, as I said earlier, you know, I'm fully aware of. You know, they know how I work. I know how they work. And as I say, we've got some really good footballers at the club. There's no reason why we can't. So, as I say, get the club stable and then kick on from there. That's the aim.
Well, Tommy, big thank you for coming on the show. Everyone pretty much said the same thing on Thursday night. It's great to have Tommy back in football, and it's great to have him at Marine. It's a great appointment, and obviously on behalf of all the listeners, big congratulations again, and all the best of luck over the coming months.
Ben, that's a really nice thing to say. Thanks very much for that.
A big thank you there to Tommy Lawson, the new manager at Marine. And of course, we wish Sean Hesse all the best for the future and with his future endeavours. And speaking of managerial changes, last week we spoke to Mark Duffett. Then the news broke that Paul Holland had left Ilkeston and replaced by Sean Gota. Then Ilkeston get a win. And then midweek, they got a defeat. So to find out where Ilkeston are at this moment in time, well, you wait for one bus and then two come along at once. We're now joined for the second week running from the Ilkeston Advertiser by the legendary Mark Duffy. Hello, Mark. How's things?
I'm much better now. I'm legendary. I'll take that.
Well, two appearances on a show in a fortnight, that is legendary. James Hayes can't even... brag about that kind of level of appearances on this show. But welcome back to the show. A promise is a promise. I did say to you, next time Ilkeston wins, we'll get you back on. And the next game, they won. But more importantly, before they won, there was a managerial change as well at Ilkeston.
Yes. It's as I say on a number of occasions, it's never dull there. And I think after I spoke to you, was it 2 days after I spoke to you, the manager's changed? Yeah, I don't know that it was a huge shock that it happened. I think a lot of people, including myself, actually had a large degree of sympathy with Paul Holland because he was clearly dealt with some pretty tough cards when it came to the squad in the very young team and so on. And I think football is like that sometimes, and he'll be the first to admit that. And sometimes, I mean, whoever's fault it is, irrespective of the squad you've got, maybe sometimes a freshening up of ideas and things can be the answer, and someone else came in and they then won the first game. So maybe it was justified straight away. I don't know. But sympathy goes Holland's way. But I think as far as the fans are concerned, certainly as far as the club are concerned, they just want to move on and try and get out of this relegation zone as quickly as they can.
The next step for Sean Gota is obviously this match this weekend against Buxton, and we'll cover that in a second. Yeah. But it was a very important victory that on Saturday to beat Sutton Coldfield by 1-0. It was looking good at that point, but it's rare you get a Corby situation where you just go on a massive run after being on such a poor run of form. The Hensford game on Tuesday, it was always going to be tough, that visit from Hensford.
It was, and Saturday was, as you say, crucial. They had to stop the rot, really. That was the key thing. I mean, it didn't matter who they beat. They had to just get a win because it was so long without one. Get that moniker off their backs. And then after that, it was how they responded to it. And to be fair, against Hensford, there wasn't a great deal between the teams. Ilkeston seemed quite well organised now. And Hensford, weren't anything particularly special. They took the chances they got, which was the difference. And has been the difference between Ilkeston and a lot of teams this year in the Ilkeston just haven't taken enough chances. So there's been reasons for optimism from these two performances from Ilkeston. They have a very tough game, as you say, against Buxton on Saturday, which they'll probably look at as being one that if they can get anything from, it'll be a bonus. But then again, they've got Tuesday next week and they've got Hell's Own, which is again, they'll be looking to get 3 points from. So they'll be picking and choosing the games that are crucial, but they need just to win as many as they possibly can, really.
Now, the thing for Ilkeston is, because Corby, because Frickley, and because Sutton Coldfield have been winning matches of late, it has opened up the field somewhat, and now we've got this league table now where Marine are on the same number of points as Frickley Athletic. And you mentioned there about picking and choosing your matches, and you mentioned the Hales Owen match. It's still a tall order, the number of points Ilkeston are behind, but you spoke to Sean Gota. What's his general feeling towards getting involved in the relegation battle?
Well, he's very realistic. He's not under any illusions as to how hard it will be. He's got nothing to lose, in a sense. He's come in, he wants to improve his coaching credentials here. He's very keen to get back into coaching in this country. He's been out in Bermuda for 2 or 3 years. And he sees this as a good opportunity and a real challenge. And the one that if he pulls it off, then clearly, he'll go down very well and it'll look good on his CV as well. It's a massive job. I mean, even to think about catching those teams, they've got to at least win 4 games. And that's just to catch up in points and hope the others drop them. So he thinks they're still needing 10 wins. And when they've only won, I think it's 4 or 5 all season, it's clearly a big ask. So he's aware of it. He's going to try and bring players in, I think, to try and make those what you might see as less winnable games more winnable, because at the moment with the squad they've got, you would look at Buxton away and think no chance, but then with certain players added into the team.
Sean's plan is now is to bring in maybe some more experienced players into this to try and pick the season up a bit.
It's more, I think he's quite keen to get just more physical players in. I think the current stature of the squad and particularly up top, is a little bit lightweight. And I think he wants to get some players in who have that physical strength to cope with the battle as much as anything else, mentally as well. You know, I think I don't know what he can bring in. I don't know what contact he does have. You have to assume he will have some good ones. And he has identified that it doesn't matter whether they're experienced or not, there are certain kind of players there that will help, and everybody can see it anyway, anybody who watches him. So he's confident doing that. I think he'll be backed to a point. There's not a lot of money there to spend on players, contrary to a lot of belief elsewhere, you know, far from it. So I think, you know, looking at loans, which when you look at people like Marcus Denangro and Matlock, you know, if you can pull a gem out of the loan market, you never know what can happen.
And just a quick mention then for this Saturday's match against Buxton. I take it this is one of those matches where you mentioned about picking and choosing the matches. This probably isn't going to be one of them, but stranger things have happened.
Well, you go into these games with no pressure, don't you? I mean, you know, you look at the league table and they'll go there knowing that for a tough one, Buxton, and I know Marcus McIntosh well, he's never going to take anything for granted. He'll, in fact, he's admitted to me a few times this season that they have tougher games against the sides lower down the table than they often do, and results have borne that out as well sometimes than they do against higher up. So Buxton will certainly be up for it and won't be taken for granted. But Ilkeston, on the same account, will not go there under any pressure to win. They know they've got to win games. But, you know, if they go there and get a point, I think they'll come back more than happy with that and then concentrate on the glut of home games that's still got to come up.
Well, we did say on our Twitter feed last week that at times like this, when news breaks like this, local journalists come into their own, and certainly, Matt, all throughout the season, really, you really have come into your own. And where can people follow you and read your excellent work covering non-league football?
You're very kind. It's best place to find me on Twitter is at Duffer Sport, on the Ilkeston Advertiser website as well. So keep an eye out.
So a big thank you there to Mark Duffer. We've spoke a lot there about Ilkeston. Let's focus on Buxton now. James, your thoughts on this one, Buxton against Ilkeston?
Normally, I'd say this would be a quite easy game for Buxton, but the pressure, as you just said, then the pressure of having half a league table still changing at this moment in time is going to bear a lot of thought onto that. And I still think Buxton will come away with something, but I think the fact that they've got to look over the shoulder, it's not just about the points now, it's more about how many goals they can win by as well, because again, looking at the goal differences of the chasing teams, they're not in the best position there at this moment in time if you include Spennymoor, Stourbridge and Nantwich. So Buxton have got to go out and completely dominate the game, in my personal opinion, just to get something out.
Now, that's Buxton against Ilkeston, and we should mention the team up at the top now. Blyth Spartans have got a hell of a lead up at the top. I asked Swampy, when do we stop talking about Blyth? Because they can't blow this league, can they? It is a lot. And I hate to be that kind of talk sport radio presenter, but the lead they've got now is just incredible for this stage of the season. However, Corby Town are coming to visit this weekend to Croft Park, and if anyone in the league at the moment can beat Blyth Spartans, I wouldn't put it past them. They've been sensational now for the last couple of months. Very, very intriguing game this weekend, Blyth Spartans against Corby Town, and joining us now is the welcome return of the manager at Corby Town. It's the welcome return of Gary Mills. Hello, Gary. How's things?
All good. Thank you very much. Hope you're well.
Yeah, so I hope you're all well too. And by the looks of it, I think you probably should be. The last time we had you on, you were just starting your journey as manager at Corby Town. The form, Corby were in the basement at the time. It wasn't looking good at all. And then you've gone on this, well, almost title-winning form. What's it all down to?
When I first took the job, I wanted to be fair to the players that were at the club. When I was a player, all I asked for the manager was to give me a chance and be fair. So I wanted to be fair to the group of players that were here. Then I made a few decisions on players that I wanted to let go and bring my own players in, and mixed in with a lot of hard work and endeavour. We've managed to turn it around a tiny, tiny bit. So I'd say a mixture of getting my own players in, my own ideas across, and a mixture of hard work.
And the mood at the club as well. You could tell because it was a relegation last season, and it was looking like for a long time a relegation this season as well. The mood at the club must be amazing to see the transformation.
Yeah, it was huge. When we first took over, there was a lot of doom and gloom about the place. So they wasn't used to winning football matches. They was used to losing football matches, and losing becomes a habit, and so does winning. So. To change the mentality of the whole place was one of the things that I wanted to do, and thankfully with a few wins and a few good performances, we managed to turn it around a tiny bit. The fans are fully on side, very vocal, and they appreciate seeing a team that tries their best and gives their all.
And it's a big club as well, Corby. It's a very impressive setup there as well. And we should say, obviously, this show's going out towards the end of February, and it's not a done deal yet. The run you've been on has been sensational, but as a manager, I know what you're going to say to me, Gary. There is a long way to go here, and the relegation picture, it's just crazy, isn't it? I mean, it's yourselves and Frickle Athletic and Sutton Coldfield, you've all legged each other on, and now you've got Marine in your sights, you've got Hales Owen in your sights, and with a couple of victories, you've even got the likes of Coldfield, Stafford Rangers and Michelover in your sights as well. It's been fabulous what you and Frickley and Sutton Coldfield have all achieved in this second part of the season thus far.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. I speak to the managers of the two clubs, you say, and it's huge for us. I wanted to drag as many teams as we can in it. When we were sitting at the bottom, I think a lot of people wrote us off. So long may that continue. But we've got a long, long way to go. Nothing's done. My group of players know that nothing's done, and they're hungry to get more wins and more points on the board, and we'll fight tooth and nail right to the end, that's for sure.
Now, we've obviously got Tommy Larson coming on this week's show as well, the new manager at Marine. It is a very pressured situation going on down the bottom end. But saying that, speaking of pressure, is there much pressure on you, Gary, and your side this weekend going up to Blyth? I mean, we suggested last week when we spoke to John Dunham from the Northants Telegraph that the next two matches, Nantwich and Blyth, not too much expected of Corby, and you got that point against Nantwich. Can you do the same this weekend, perhaps?
We're going to a team that's absolutely flying, flying high. I played with Alan at Rushton and Diamond, so I know what sort of character he is. He's a great lad. He's got his team far on all cylinders. So it's going to be a really tough ask, but we're going to every game now where we're going to be competitive. We're going to give it our all. We know what the minimum requirement is, and that's hard work and endeavour and sticking together. So last time I looked, I think it's first v second in the form guide. Yes. So it'd be a tough game for both teams. I think they'll show us a bit of respect. We'll show them respect. We've analysed them, and we'll come up with a game plan where we try and frustrate them and exploit a few weaknesses.
Well, there you go. And on that bit of mind games there from Gary Mills, a big thank you, Gary Mills, manager at Corby Town, for coming on the show. On behalf of the listeners, a big congratulations for what you've achieved in such short space of time at the club.
So we've got a lot of hard work, and I want to pay respects to the teams in and around us. Every team in this division is a tough game. So nothing's a done deal, and I'm sure we'll fight to the end.
Now, as we alluded to earlier when we spoke to Tom, Marine against Frickle Athletic this weekend is a very, very big game. Probably game of the weekend. Probably the one that most people will be looking at going, oh, I wonder what's going to happen there. It's 19th against 20th. They're both on the same number of points. With the Corby match at Blyth, this could be a very pivotal weekend for either Marine or Frickle Athletic. Or indeed, it could be a pivotal weekend for Corby if Marine and Frickley draw. It's just a really intriguing set of fixtures coming up in the league. And if we throw in as well Hales Owen against Barwell into the mix, this is it. It's a really important match for both teams. Everyone at the moment has important matches.
Out of the four teams there, I think Hales Owen have got a lot of opportunities to get a little bit of a get-out clause with that fixture as well. So if they can get a result out of Barwell, I think they just need that to secure themselves once again.
Check this out, though, James. Right, if Barwell win, they could be, if results go a certain way, they could be 1 point from the playoff positions.
Exactly.
Which is bonkers. So
it is indeed. So again, with Barwell can't afford to lose that game, but Hales Owen really can't, just to stay out of that little bit of a fight. looking at Marine's fixtures, they've got to play Carby twice yet as well.
Boom.
So, and back-to-back, if I believe, it's back-to-back as well.
Wow.
It is.
This is the thing about this season, this closing part of the season, doing podcasts. There's no point, really, doing these shows, but we have to. So we have to make predictions, and it goes in and out, and our story changes like the wind, in a way. Nobody's expecting, I don't think, anything from Corby going up to Blyth. The big game for Corby's next week when they host Skem. And this is the thing, we Blyth might win against Corby, and then the gap might open up to Frickley, and we might go, oh, look what's happened there. And then next week, they could get 3 points against Skem, and then suddenly we go, oh, Corby are back in it. It's just silly.
Yeah.
Should I close the show now? There is literally no point doing this show. But anyway.
We might as well continue.
So let me cover off some other matches now elsewhere. Whitby Town against Stourbridge, I mean... Boom. Let's hear now from Adam Parks at Black Country Radio. This is a very big match. It's Whitby Town against Stourbridge. Here is Black Country Radio's Adam Parks.
Hi, Ben. Good to talk to you.
Stourbridge at the moment, it feels like it's, how could I put it, very pivotal match, this one, and could be a bit of a turning point for the season. What's the mood like in the camp at the moment?
It's a difficult situation at the moment because of a combination of injuries and also players that have left the club for whatever reason to go on to pastures new. So it's a little bit of a patchwork quilt, unfortunately, with Stourbridge. And whilst it was great at the time to be in second in the table, you almost feel as though Stourbridge sort of, if they're going to make the playoffs, they're going to end up stumbling over, you know, the playoff line. I saw the game up at Grantham, which we mentioned when I was last on the show, and they were very poor that day. It did appear that Grantham wanted it more, but Stourbridge looked not cohesive. They didn't have a cutting edge about them. And although I've not seen the two home games since, the general opinion is that Stourbridge aren't what they were during the course of the cup run, and I guess that's only to be expected when you've got new players coming into the side and the team hasn't gelled together yet. So I totally agree with you regarding the Whitby Town game. In many ways it is like a 6-pointer because Whitby are struggling themselves to a certain extent. Stourbridge have got to make that long trip on Saturday, but I just struggle at the moment to see where the goals are going to come from. There is that lack of cutting edge up front for them.
I was going to say, though, that the general theme throughout this week's show is just the fact that basically anyone south of Blyth at the moment, both geographically and in the league table, are somewhat everyone's stumbling at the moment. Even Grantham have lost the run that they were on. So it is one of those stages of the season where everyone's trying to find their feet in a way, and the defeats themselves, they're not like landslide defeats. They're only by the odd goal. And given the opposition they've been playing, it's sadly surprising, really.
Well, to a certain extent. I mean, Grantham were obviously in form when they played them. Blyth Spartans speak for themselves. They're an outstanding side. And we said about a month or so ago that we reckon that they'd probably go off automatic. Whitby Town have been there or thereabouts all season. Warrington Town, you know, they've had a good season. They're a good side. Stourbridge aren't gelling at the moment, and that's my worry, that they need to start getting it together and start almost getting a confidence boosting win just to get that ball rolling again and get some more points on the table. And it isn't going to be easy for either team on Saturday. I feel Saturday will probably be a bit of a cagey event. It might just be decided by the odd goal.
Then it's returning back to the West Midlands on Monday for that match against Stafford Rangers. And it is that time of the season now where every game is important, every 3 points, even every point in some cases. There's only one place, really, you can keep abreast of everything that's going on in the Black Country, and that's with Black Country Radio.
Yes, I'm making my way up to Whitby for Saturday's game, so you can join me for coverage of that game. If you're in the West Midlands, we're on FM on 102.5, You can catch us online at allthews.blackcountryradio.co.uk.
And just while I've got you on as well, Adam, just a quick word on Hales Owen at the moment. I mean, it's if results go a certain way this weekend, Fitcliff Athletic could be 3 points behind Colville. So it's awfully tight now down the bottom end of the table. What's the mood like at Hales Owen? And not just with the dugouts blowing into the stand as well, we should say.
Well, I think Hales Owen Town have got very little to work with to start off with. So for every 3 points that they get, to a certain extent, it's brilliant for them and one step away closer away from the relegation zone. I think that they'll stay up personally. I think that they're too savvy and enough to actually you know, have the right players and the right management to go down. You know, every game is a difficult game, but some of the games they have been a little bit unlucky in not to pick up a point or 3 points in. And I just think that there are worse teams than Hales Owen Town, you know, four worse teams than Hales Owen Town in that division. And don't forget, we've still got the big derby coming up between Hales Owen and Stourbridge, which is a week on Tuesday.
Wow.
It could be a big, you know, pointer to both teams' fortunes come the end of the season.
Adam Parks from Black Country Radio, a big thank you for taking the time out of your busy evening to come on the show, and good luck this weekend and a safe journey up to the northeast. So Adam Parks there from Black Country Radio, big thank you for joining us. Whitby Town are in fourth, Stourbridge are in sixth, separated by 1 point. Stourbridge down to Warrington Town in 13th place. The gap is 5 points. So that goes to show you what we're talking about here on this week's show. Speaking of Warrington Town, they're hosting Colville. Stafford Rangers are hosting Spennymoor Town. And Rush Olympic are hosting Ashton United. While Grantham Town are hosting Workington. Now, this is the fixture I'd like to talk about. Grantham Town against Workington. Last weekend, the unstoppable juggernaut just got a slight puncture. In a way, the Grantham Town, still very, very much in the playoff mix. Workington seem to get a puncture every six games or so, and then pick themselves up again. If this season can be summed up for a lot of teams, I'd just go look at the form of Grantham and look at the form of Workington.
Indeed, so Grantham's form, they were obviously away at Micklover. No one can go. No. Micklover, I did say a couple of weeks ago, Micklover will decide the season.
Hey, I was going to say, it's also happened to Workington. Don't forget, Micklover a couple of weeks ago beat Workington 4-0.
Indeed. So, again, you're correct there as well.
Yes.
So, it's more the case now of both teams can't afford to lose this game.
Now, I think we've covered nearly all the fixtures, really. I mean, Spennymoor going to Stafford Rangers, same rules apply. Rush Olympic hosting Ashton United, same rules apply. And don't even get me started on Skelmersdale United against Sutton Coldfield Town. Boom! There's an interesting game, though, taking place at Keys Park. Hensford Town against Nantwich Town. 5 points now between Nantwich Town and Hensford Town. 5th to 12th. It's not too late for Hensford, you know.
It's not, and I think a couple of weeks ago you said that as well, that they could just get back into it. And I said, no, it's well and truly done. They're not going there.
People should listen to me more.
Yeah, I think it was either me or Berkey. I can't remember which one of us. It might have been me, I think. That's how bonkers this season's been. Hensford could still get into a playoff run at this moment in time with a good win. I'm not going to rule out Warrington either at this moment in time. But
no,
I think
no, absolutely not.
We're nowhere close to being able to predict the final five at this moment. Come the beginning of April, if this is the same situation, my word, I do not want to be any of the league officials going to some of the games or trying to set up the playoffs out, because that's just going to be an impossible task.
Well, I think someone said, it might have been you or someone last week, said it's going to be, they reckon it's the playoffs might be decided on goal difference. I think it was Swampy, actually, when we were at Mosler last week.
Yeah.
And he's probably going to be right at the way things are turning out. And that's going to be true probably for the relegation pitch as well. It's a really bonkers league at the moment. And hashtag pray for MPL pundits. That's all we can say. James Hayes, thank you for joining us. And you have a lovely week. And we'll be hearing from you next week on the main MPL show.
No worries, Ben. Thank you very much.
And that's it for this week's show. A big, big thank you to all my guests this week. Too many to mention, but everyone who comes on this show is an absolute legend. And a big thank you to you, dear listener, for tuning in. This has been Evo Stick Extra. You can follow this show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. And you can get involved with all the discussions and chatter on the old internet. That's at facebook.com/groups/the NPL. A big thank you to the hospitality shown at Witten Albion on Tuesday evening. Had a lovely pie and peas. Thank you very much, Witten Albion. We're going to be back next week with an all-new NPL show. And don't forget to look out as well for this month's Evo Stick Division 1 show. That'll be out next week as well. But from everyone here on Evo Stick Extra, you have a lovely weekend. Don't forget to look outside your window on Saturday morning. Check Twitter, check your club's website, and make sure that your match is on before setting off. But that's it for this week's Evo Stick Extra. I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evo Stick NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.